I have the perception of a lovely calmness that's arising here in the Sangha. Just that experience of this beautiful dance of beingness from the inside out that's endowed with consciousness. It's very beautiful to behold. And there may not be the objective awareness of calm, because our attention might be engaged in that which is restless. Meanwhile, just check for a moment to see how the energy is maybe a little bit softer. The field of one's experience of the body is maybe a little bit more open. Maybe there's a little bit more of a sense of the process of breathing, just here. And we begin to allow for the calm. And it's a strange actuality that we like the calm, and at the same time we have difficulty tolerating it in life, in this moment, in life, in an intentional way of being in a day retreat like this, where all these different factors are heightened in our experience of familiarity, and of course have difficulty tolerating calm when we step out the door and begin to hear the whoosh, zoom. Suddenly it's just something that we drop. Our tolerance for calm is a part of what we're becoming familiar with, or calm itself. And it has a feeling tone. And the feeling tone of calm, the fact that we're able to even refer to it, is associated with the gathering of energy of what we call mind, because mind we hear is fragmented, yes? Perhaps you've experienced fragmentation. If that's a word for it, there are lots of other references. Something is experiencing it and something is knowing causes that allow for a more cohesive, softer, more buoyant inner consciousness, that buoyancy where instead of something, you know, coming in through one of the sense doors and just throwing everything into kind of ricochet, it's just like, boom. And there's a knowing of what it is. Oh, it's hearing. Oh, it's seeing. It's tasting. It's an arising in the mind or an image, a thought. It's known, that little cohesive kind of buoyancy, just a little bit of it, is the environment in which the knowing is able to recognize what's occurring and is more apt to be in a sustained or likely remembering the process of breathing. Because this intelligence is beginning to emerge. Is something that we simply maintain by offering our attention to that which is conducive to it. And this intelligence is a much kinder intelligence than the experience of life without it. We are so raw and ragged these days. And we're becoming more and more aware when we're raw and ragged with the appreciation that, yes, this is just natural. The stress builds up. It just builds up because of the fact that we are inundated constantly with stimulus, sound and such, movement, fast, electromagnetic currents, boom, boom, boom. I heard probably 20 years ago that at some point meditation was going to be a matter of survival. And at that point I went, oh boy, survival, that's a big word. And that's kept echoing, you know, through the years, and it's now, for me, beyond the 10 years. And what I understand about the implications there is that this process, practice, I prefer practice over meditation, that was just that quote, is protecting my humanity. So that the humanity that exists can be brought into greater clarity. And I occasionally, maybe you do too, have glimpses of life before practice that, for me, go way back, you know, and I just had no idea how disordered this process was. Yesterday I was sitting and there was just a really kind of quick proliferation of an associative process, and what it was just, I mean, it began on its own, arose on its own in the past, just about five different beings in my life that were part of a synchronicity of meeting, that was associated with something about having my life having been saved. You know, just a moment of hello, and then, you know, a stage of reckoning, a stage of greater awareness, another hello, another hello. And until, I'm sure there'll be more hellos, there are all these hellos right here, the critical roles that people played in my life that really provided the support, unknowingly, for these stages of personal responsibility, recognizing what that is, hearing the Dhamma, practicing it. And now that I'm saying five, I'm suddenly thinking, you know? Just in the affinity with life lived with the Dhamma in mind and what and who it brings to us to mirror in ways that bring about such a sense of, I'll call it protection. Protection of our humanity. Because our humanity is so precious. And we're just beginning to know how to live with it at a personal level. We tend to think in terms of the, you know, largesse, the mass, the, you know, so forth. This is the humanity that we can live with, learn to live with, come into communion with. And as I mentioned, I think, not sure, because I've been here with a lot of Dhamma reflection, but I may have mentioned that I view the practice as communion, intimacy, and then the conveyance or the inner active process of speech as communication, and then hence we come together. We come together and create this beautiful environment. Community, or in this case, intentional beings with the Dhamma in mind, Sangha. There are lots of Sanghas that I visit that are not really Sanghas, they're communities. Because the Dhamma is not really in mind, and that's not a judgment, it's just an observation. A lot of other emphasis and, you know, more and more about commodity and surviving in this culture and things like that. And this Sangha is particularly rarefied in that, as far as I know, it's never wanted to become a vast, shiny building, you know. That really what you're doing here is attending to that which is of essence. And meanwhile, look at where you find yourself. For this afternoon, extension of this good fortune of having something that protects our humanity and allows for us to engage it in intimacy, And to mature our consciousness, I think of a quote by Ajahn Chah. And some of you may know that Ajahn Chah was a Thai forest tradition Vipassana master. And I had the good fortune of meeting him and spending time with him. And he was a simple earth being. So simple. And yet so still and receiving and knowing. And in that sense, he's still here. Because the stillness in his teachings, like Still Forest Pond, if you've ever looked at that reading, draws us in. And this quote is that it is wise to cultivate a mind that knows how to let go. It's wise to cultivate a mind that knows how to let go. A little bit of letting go, a little bit of peace. We could say contentment, balance, ease. A little bit of receptivity to the conditions associated with this, a tolerance for calm. Letting go a little bit more peace. Well, this is associated with greater perseverance and resolve in association with an even more fine-tuned sensation, serenity. That beautiful, quiet serenity that we sometimes observe in the face of these beautiful Buddhist icons. And then if we cultivate a mind that is capable of complete letting go, then there's complete peace. And the feeling tone associated with that is tranquility. These words that we have in our lexicon already that aren't necessarily nuanced within our own experience. And it isn't like we can monitor this. We can't monitor and say, okay, now I'm just going to cultivate tranquility. Because it's really what's noticed and what is sustained that allows for this continuation of the process of discernment, where our attention is drawn and the effects that arise out of it. It's very, very auspicious that you have one another to come together into this communion because of the fact that you support one another energetically, even though you aren't around one another all the time. There's an energetic interconnectedness that happens here that is almost like a web, a nervous system. And a friend of mine, a bhikkhu, recently said that the web is the system that transmits the energy of calm. And that the essence of this web is metta. And the essence of metta is non-harming. And the essence of metta is soft and receptive. And therefore, it circuits a different kind of energy through this interconnected being that we are just from sitting together. And so we come to understand what it's meant by, I practice for myself and therefore for all beings. I practice and recognize here that really this is the reconditioning of the receptivity to more subtle energies that belong to and are kindred to the heart. And supposedly, both in my sitting with Pao Xiaodao, and I won't go into stories because this isn't about long stories, although they're interesting, and also supposedly over here with nanoscience or whatever it is, science these days, but micro acknowledgement of cause and effect, the heart, the physical heart, has a network within it that is much more subtle than the innervation of nerves running from the spine through the autonomic nervous system. And I learned this from Pauk Sayadaw, humble Sayadaw without any education other than Dhamma all his life, through concentration practice. And so there's that sense of coming closer as we come closer, as we come closer, and as we spend time with those who live here, live here, absorbed, embodied, clear-eyed, seeing, reflecting, to some degree, doesn't matter, then suddenly there is the recognition of this very beautiful intelligence that this is, and how we begin to perceive and respond within a completely different, more subtle, I want to say, neuro process within ourselves. This is the new language. So, sort of turning this back into a time of practice, tolerating calm. And you'll play with it, and you'll notice that when there's receptivity, one-pointed receptivity, returning just as efficiently as one can within this receptivity within the breathing, I mean these lungs, my goodness, then there is the noticing of calm. And then when there's, you know, attentive distraction, and you'll realize that with every movement, whether it's intentional, attentional balance, receiving, or that there's an energetic, it's like it's registering on this kind of clear pond or clear mirror. And then like this, I learned this one time when I was driving. You know, just hands on that, and realized that when I was in with the hands moving back into the body within the breathing, that it was just smooth and continuous, and something knew the way. And then I asked, what is it that knows the way? And I went, you know, I don't know. And then I went, okay, what, you know, how does anything happen? So we're just learning how to be with that which is in a manner that allows for it to be smooth and spacious and harmonious and receptive to that recognition of what it is that brings in the sense of disorder, and name it. Just name it. For me, it was like suddenly I'm looking around saying, do I know where I'm going? Do I know where I'm going? Instead of just, something knows its way. I had been there before, so, you know, something knows its way, and this is our sense that begins to grow in faith. Something knows its way. And everything is looking for the way, but something knows its way. We are cultivating a mind that knows how to let go. That's not something that I can do. When I have dialogues with people, how do I let go of this, how do I let go of that? There's no how. And there's no letting go. It's the cultivation and the tolerance of calm and some steadiness of samadhi in everyday life, just a little bit of practice, a little bit of samadhi, cohesive, that are the conditions that allow for the inadvertent letting go. It just, because one's attention is less attracted to it. And that's the moment of letting go. Meanwhile, the purpose of this practice, if I may, in the development of this continuity with, allows for this invitation for that which obstructs to arise in awareness. We're not getting rid of anything. We're not replacing anything. We're just becoming familiar with the conditions that allow for that which is held in confusion and in distorted association to arise. So we might as well know that we are in and by the nature of our practice inviting all and everything to arise in an increasing openness and receptivity. We don't have to negotiate fear if it arises. We'll know it through a sensation. It's not mysterious like it used to be. I remember before I was able to know and note and notice and label fear, that when it arose, I mean, I can't even tell you what the experience was like. You know. Until suddenly, oh, this is fear, fear. And all that's necessary, as this gets lighter and lighter, is just a soft note. If you find that your attention is somehow just not quite in wanting to make sense awareness contact breathing, then just rest back and receive it, receiving, because that's really what we're doing. Receiving. And that soft knowing. Just soft, light knowing. Has much more power than the pursuit of anything. So, many blessings in your practice this afternoon. We'll be sitting for the remainder of an approximate 45 minutes, a walk, a sit, and then we'll be saying hello and fare thee well for today.